I'm really pleased to be here with you guys today. As we said earlier, I'm one of the leaders of the school that Denise has been going to, so hopefully she's selling it. You'll have to let me know. But I wanted to talk to you guys, I'm just now trying to find it, I should have done it before, but I want to talk to you guys about hearing the voice of God, and that actually it's something that we can all do whenever we want to. So, when I'm talking about hearing the voice of God, I am talking about, in the book of Corinthians, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of prophecy. And prophecy is simply a fancy term for hearing God's voice and sharing it with someone else in love. So everything about hearing God's voice and about sharing it with people is fundamentally in love. Because we know that the Bible also says, I can prophesy, I can do this and I can do this, but if I do it without love, I'm just like a clanging cymbal. I'm just like loud, horrible noise. And so everything that we do has to be rooted in love. And when we learn how to love the person in front of us well, we will learn how to hear God's voice for them. Because he speaks to us as our heart kind of goes out to that person that's in front of us. And there are so many different ways that God can speak to you, that he speaks to me in loads of different ways. And so I might go through some of those with you. There may be some that you're like, I resonate with that, that makes sense. Because even if you would say, I'm not sure that I do hear God's voice, obviously the Bible is the one of the main ways that we hear the voice of God. But if you're kind of sitting here thinking, well, you know, I'm not sure where I stand with that. I'm not sure that I could hear the voice of God, that I could have the gift of prophecy. I can imagine that if I had a 10-minute conversation with you, I would be able to point out a couple of different ways that God is already speaking to you that potentially you weren't aware of was the voice of God, and that we kind of go along in life not realizing all the time, oh, that's what that is it? That's God talking to me. And oftentimes we just kind of go along and we don't realize how much God is involved, how much he has already been doing, how much he has already been speaking. And one of the ways that God talks to me, very strangely, is through number plates. And I know. And you know what? It's when he's like, Lauren, I need you to calm down now. And so it's usually when I'm driving and I'm like getting annoyed, some other driver's either cut me up or someone's done something. And then I'll see a number plate and it will be God being like, Lauren, calm down. Peace. Why don't you bless that person that's just cut you up instead of yelling at them? And so that's one of the ways that he talks to me, that I see this regular pattern in number plates that I never saw before. And I remember saying to God, oh, I never see this thing in number plates. And after I said that to God, I just saw it everywhere. And he was talking to me through it. But that's just kind of a simple explanation of there's probably more things that you've been hearing from God but maybe didn't realize. So what I want to share is that I believe that every believer, every Christian can have the gift of prophecy and can prophesy. And again, when I say that, I mean can hear the voice of God. So in Acts 2:17 to 18, when Jesus quotes from the prophet Joel, and he says, in the last days, which is now, by the way, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people, all being the important one, all. You all fit into all, so that's you, this is about you. In the last days now, God will pour out his spirit on you. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Will being the important word going on here. It's not maybe, it's not might, it's not if they've prayed enough that day, if they feel good enough, if they've read their Bible. Did you go along to the Bible study for Lent that week? If you didn't, he might not talk to you. Did you worship enough? It's not any of those things. And I remember thinking, I believe this. Like, I believe that God is going to pour out his spirit on all people and that all people can prophesy. I do believe that. But what I realised is I believed it for everyone except for me. I was the anomaly. I was the one that God was like, not you though. Because I was like, well, they're the worship leader, you know, they're really holy and they do this. And, well, they do all of the hospitality, so of course God's going to want to talk to them. And I know they read their Bible every day, God's going to want to talk to them. But me, oh, maybe not. And I remember hearing a sermon and the preacher said, and he was talking about kind of the gifts of the Spirit and God moving and God using people in their life. And I remember him saying, God wants to use you. And he said, but the thing is, you are not special. And I remember being like, how dare you tell me that? I'm very special. Thank you very much. The Bible says I'm amazing. But he said, you are not so special that God would use everyone else except for you. He has not called you out to not use you, to not speak to you, that every promise in the Bible is for everyone else apart from you. You're not so special that you would be left out of the promises of God. And so that really struck me. And we know, in 1 Corinthians 14, when it's talking about the gift of prophecy, it says everyone shall prophesy. And it says, be eager and desire the gift of prophecy. I believe that God's a good father, that he's a good God. And I don't believe that it would be in his nature to tell me to eagerly desire something that he has zero intention of giving me. That's only for a select few people, that he would only do it on a certain day, you know, all of those things. I don't believe that that's his nature. I believe that he's a good God, that when he says something, he does it, that he is faithful to his word. And if he says, eagerly desire these things, then I believe that's because he wants to give it to us. And to put it really simply, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We are all God's sheep, which means we can all hear his voice. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched these videos. I got really addicted to watching these videos of little babies who were born deaf or very hard of hearing, and then they got implants, and then they heard their parents' voice for the first time. It's the, guys, if you haven't seen it, it's the cutest thing ever. Over here, there's some nods. It is the cutest thing ever. But what I've noticed is, whenever I watch these videos, is that the first voice that they hear is their parent, but they immediately know that it's the voice of their parent. There's no question. There's no like, oh, who was that? It's immediately like, that was you. And I believe, like, when I watch those things, I'm like, that's how it should be with us and God, that we know that was you, that we're designed so specifically to hear his voice, that even if you feel like you've been born deaf, even if you feel like you can't hear him, that actually God's like, I'm just going to give you this, like, supernatural hearing aid. And as soon as it goes in, the gift of prophecy, as soon as it goes in, you're going to know immediately. You're not going to be questioning, going, who was that that just spoke to me? You're going to know it was him, because we have an intrinsic ability in us to hear his voice, simply because we are his sheep, so we can hear his voice. And it doesn't have to be complicated and it doesn't have to be difficult, but I think the church has often overcomplicated it and made it sound really kind of special and just for the one person, or, you know, just for that amazing preacher or whoever it might be, that they can do it but I can't. But that isn't what the Bible says. And prophecy in the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So the voice of God, the true voice of God, will always strengthen, encourage, and comfort. And now, I don't know if you guys have had experiences with prophecy before, or people like sharing words with you of, oh, I think God is saying this to you. And maybe you've actually had a really damaging experience where it's been really judgmental or really corrective and harsh or whatever it might be. And actually it's kind of left you to go, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. I don't trust this person, or I don't trust that God, people can really hear God, because of that damaging experience that we've had. But I can tell you that if it was real prophecy, it will strengthen, encourage, and comfort you. And if it didn't do that, it wasn't. And you can literally just, we say, like, flush it down the loo, brush it off, get rid of it. Like, it has nothing to do with you. You don't have to live under that anymore. You don't have to be like, well, this famous person or this preacher person spoke this thing over me and it was really negative and I've been living under it my whole life. You don't have to anymore. Because if it didn't strengthen, encourage, or comfort you, it wasn't prophecy, which means it wasn't a word from God, which means we can have freedom from that, that kind of weight that we've been carrying around. And we know that, you know, I'm sure that you guys, long-term Christians in the room, know John 3:16. I'm not going to quote it for you, but John 3:17 goes on and it said, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So we know that God isn't about condemnation. We know that when he speaks, he doesn't condemn us. Sometimes he convicts us, for sure. I've experienced that a lot of times. And again, I know that it strengthens me, it comforts me, even the conviction, but it's never condemnation. And so if you're thinking condemning thoughts, if you're thinking thoughts that bring you fear or guilt or shame, I can tell you straight off, if you're wondering if that's God, it's not. Because that isn't how God talks. He doesn't guide you through fear. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't speak to you through shame or guilt. That's most likely going to be either your voice, someone else's voice that's spoken something to you in the past that you keep telling yourself, or the voice of the enemy who wants to disrupt you, who wants to make you feel bad about who you are. Because the Bible says, I mean, we've been singing all these amazing songs that we're set free from sin, that we're no longer held by chains. The Bible says that because Jesus, through the righteousness of Jesus, that he makes us righteous, that it says that he perfects us, he sanctifies us. If that's true, then that means that we are righteous, we're perfect, we're sanctified through Jesus, not because I've worked hard enough for it. Thank God. Thank God that it's not about me and how much I can work for my own righteousness, because if it were, I wouldn't be coming up very well right now. But through Jesus, I am made righteous and I am sanctified. And that's the truth and that's the reality, because my Bible tells me. You know that old song, because my Bible tells me so. Well, it's true. And that's what my Bible tells me. And so any thoughts that I have that are contrary to that, I know they're not God. Because he doesn't condemn and he doesn't lie. So prophecy is always going to see the best in people. It's going to call out the gold in people. Because I always say it doesn't really take a prophet to see a lot of the junk in people's lives. It's usually sometimes quite obvious. Because it's up there on the surface. Everyone is displaying it to everyone. You know, I'm afraid, I'm this, I'm that. And you can see all of that stuff. It doesn't take God to tell you that thing about that person. It's usually quite obvious. But actually, what it takes is the voice of God to see deep into someone's heart, to see the truth of who they really are, beyond all of that other stuff, that pain, the rubbish, the mask that people put up of, this is who I want to present myself to the world as. It may not be the truth of who I am, but this is who I'm giving to you today. But God sees beyond all those things, and he sees the truth of our heart. And the truth of our heart is that we're loved, is that we're accepted into the family of God, that we're no longer orphans, that we are adopted into sonship, that we're part of the family, we're grafted into the vine. These are all expressions that Jesus used to kind of say, you belong to me now. You're part of my family. You are loved. You can't just walk out of this family. This is not something you can walk away from, because as far as you go, I'm going to be here. I've got you and I'm waiting for you. We see that in the story of the prodigal son. His son goes off, spends all the inheritance, all the money, yet when he comes back, the father goes out running to him and throws a big party. There's no condemnation, just love. And we know that that is how God talks to us. That's kind of my encouragement, that you can hear the voice of God. And I'm just going to ask this as a really random question. Does anyone have a bad right elbow or arm? Anyone? No? Everyone's got a good right arm. Great. Ish. No, that's fine. One of the ways that God sometimes talks through us is through sympathy pains. So like my friend will literally be walking down the street and pass someone and her ankle will just start hurting. And she'll turn around and be like, hey, does your ankle hurt? They'll be like, how do you even know this? Not because they were walking funny or anything. And that's one of the ways that God talks to her, through a sympathy pain. So my elbow's been hurting this morning, so it turns out it's just mine, not anyone else's. So there you go. I'll just have to pray for myself. But the way that God talks to us is really vast, and sometimes we have to take that leap of faith that says, God, am I making this up? Because when I started walking in the gift of prophecy, I felt like I'm making this up. These are just my thoughts. This makes no sense. But I tell you what, feedback is your best friend, because the only way you are going to find out whether you are making it up or whether it is God is when you ask that person and they tell you whether that's correct or that is incorrect, or that means something to me, it doesn't mean something to me. So the only way I was going to know whether my elbow hurting was mine or one of yours was if I was going to ask you, and I had to get feedback. And you know what? I kind of like it sometimes when I get it wrong in front of people, because it shows that it's okay to get it wrong. The world hasn't ended. My life has not imploded. And it doesn't matter that I got it wrong. Life goes on. And actually, a lot of times, I've been out before, and words that people have had for people have been wrong, and it's been amazing. I remember we were walking down the street, and it was a sympathy pain again, but we were walking down the street, and this guy was like, oh, I think that man's got a bad knee, I think it was. Walked down the street, he's on his break, having a cigarette, outside, Muslim guy, and they go up to him, and they're like, oh, hey, do you have pain in your knee? And he's like, nope. And they're like, oh, okay, don't worry about it. No worries, you have a really good day. And start to kind of back off. And he's like, well, why? Why are you asking about my knee? They're like, oh, well, God talks to us, and we thought that you had a bad knee. We were just going to offer to pray for you, but you don't. So it's all good, have a great day. And he was like, well, I'm deaf in my right ear. You can pray for that if you want. They were like, yes. And so they prayed for him, and immediately his ear opened up, and his deaf ear, he could start hearing. And he's like, he's trying to hide it in the wall to see, is this real? Is this real? Is this really happening? And he got totally healed. And all of that came from someone getting it wrong. But actually, when we go out because we want to love people and we want to see God move, God kind of doesn't really care. He's like, guys, I got this. And sometimes it takes a risk as well. I've had loads of times where I've done it and I've been like, someone said, I remember saying to someone, oh, I think I really see you teaching. I feel like God's going to use you to teach, all of this stuff. And she's like, no, that's not me. And I was like, okay, that's fine. That's okay. Don't worry. And I saw her 3 months later and she was like, you never guess what. Since I left you, I've become a teacher. And I was like, no way. but what even feels wrong in a moment, prophecy is about the future. So sometimes you're like, no, that's not true. Well, it wasn't true for her there and then, but it was true for her coming up. And so she knew when she got that job, she was like, this is where God wants me to be, because I've had a confirmation from God that I'm supposed to be teaching, even though in the moment I rejected it. I'll tell you another story. So I was running this worship night. It was a rooftop worship night in central London. It was awesome. If I had pictures, I should have brought some pictures. You could have seen it. It was so cool. And so you could see over, and we were just worshiping, and people were coming out on their balconies to join us in worship. some guy got on the mic, starts preaching the gospel, and like people are responding. It was so good. And so we're worshiping away, and then at the end of the night, this guy comes up and he takes the microphone and he's like, I want to tell you guys a story. And he says, I live in those flats over there, and when you started, you were playing my favorite worship song. And I could hear it, and I thought, I want to be there. So I just followed the sound of the music, and I found the building where you were, and I made my way up all the stairs, all the way up to the top, and the door was locked. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know it was, because I locked it. Of course, it's not an open event. It is a closed, ticketed event. So he starts walking back home and kind of feeling a bit low. And as he's sharing this story, he says, as I'm walking back, I felt God say to me, turn back, go back up the stairs, and if you push the door, it will open for you. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to do it. So he starts going there, back up the street, up all the stairs again, gets to the door. It's still locked. Of course it is. I locked it. It's still locked, but he pushes it and the door opens. And up he comes, and here he is now sharing his testimony that God got him into this event. He's like, sorry, don't have a ticket. Sorry, I wasn't invited. But God's got me here. Isn't this awesome? And I'm really excited because I'm like, this is awesome. And as he's sharing this, I feel God says to me, Lauren, I've got a word for him. I want you to go and give him this word. And I was like, okay, God, what is it? What do you want to say to him? And God says to me, I'll tell you when you get there. And I said, no. No, I was like, God, I'd rather not, because then I feel really pressured, and what happens if I don't get anything? I'm going to look like an idiot and all of this stuff, and oh, I don't know if I can. And God's like, off you go. I'm like, okay. I'm trying to be obedient, and I'm trying to put faith in action and just be okay that even if this does all go wrong, I'll be fine. And so I go up to him and I'm like, hey, I feel like God wants to say something to you. Can I share it with you? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. What does he want to say? And I was like, don't know. But if you let me pray for you, I think that he will tell me. And he's like, okay, okay. So I just start praying for him. And one of the ways that God talks to me is very visually. When I look at a person, oftentimes God will tell me a lot about, especially when it's their jobs and stuff, he'll tell me a lot about their job or who they are, what they do. How I kind of explain it, because it's really hard to explain it, is it's as if, like, if I was looking at Denise, and Denise used to be a policewoman, it would be like I was seeing her in a policewoman's uniform. And so to me, I'm like, well, you're a policewoman? Because it's very obvious, because she's wearing the uniform. But other people aren't seeing the uniform. And so it feels obvious to me. And in fact, I never used to even say things, because I'd be like, it's really obvious. They're basically in the uniform. We must all know that she's a policewoman. But so it's like I see them kind of wearing this outfit, or I see them as how God, things that God's doing in their lives. Anyway, so I'm looking at him and I'm like, he's not enjoying his job. That's literally the thought that goes through my head. I'm looking at him going, this is a man who's not enjoying his job right now. And I think he wants to leave his job. This is what's going on in my head. I think he wants to start his own business. Okay. And then I'm starting to ask God questions, because this is the one tip. If I'm going to give you any tip on how to hear God's voice clearer, other than loving, is asking lots of questions. Be like a child. You know, like, why, what, where? All of those questions. So I'm like, okay, God, he's unhappy, he wants to start his own business. Well, what's the business? What type of business is it? And I felt he said it's technology based. And I was like, okay, what does he want to do then? And I felt, just in my spirit, felt God say, oh, he wants to make an app. And I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't have the courage to just say, you're really unhappy in your job and God wants to do this and you're going to make an app and it's going to be amazing. So I took it slowly and I said, hey, how do you feel about your job? And he's like, I'm not really that happy. And I'm like, okay, tick number one. I was like, oh, okay. Do you feel like you want to leave? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, do you have this desire to start your own business? He's like, I do. Yeah, I do. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I don't suppose that you've ever thought about making an app. And he's like, I am making an app. And by this point, I'm like jumping up and down because I'm very excited. He's less excited. I'm like, why aren't you as excited as I am? But it's okay. I'm like, wow, God, he's really talking to me. So I share this with him and I say, well, you know, I believe God's told me this, not just because I'm some kind of fortune teller, which I'm not. I believe he's told me this because he wants to encourage you, that he sees you where you're at right now, that he sees that you're unhappy in your job. He sees your entrepreneurial spirit. He sees the desires of your heart. He sees why you want to do this app, why you want to make this app, the difference that it's going to make in people's lives. And he sees all of that, and he says that he affirms you, that he loves you, and that he encourages you to chase after your dreams, that he's for you and that he's with you. Because God doesn't just tell us things about people for the sake of knowing things about people. Like, I don't want to know endless facts about people that I don't need to know. There's a reason that he tells us these things, because he's saying, I love you, I'm for you, I see you, I'm with you. And so I just said, you know, I want to encourage you that I believe that this is a really God idea and that you should pursue it. And that was kind of it. And then I, you know, end of conversation. And I ran into him about 3 months later, and he was like, Lauren, you'll never guess. Because of what you said, I had the courage to quit my job and to really go after this app that God wanted me to create. And I've created it, and it's been launched, and it is going so well, and it's being really well received. And it's actually an app called Salt, which is a Christian dating app. I'm sure none of you use it. But it is actually really, really popular, and they've now got like 10 employees, and I actually do like an audio series for them now and like all this other stuff. But he went on and he made this app, and he was like, Lauren, if I wouldn't have had that word from you, I wouldn't have had the courage to do it, because I would have just carried on meaninglessly in my job, unhappy, because I didn't have the courage to believe in myself and believe that God was in what I was doing. And so he started the app, and like I said, now it's flourishing. He's like, I saw him over the last summer, and he introduced me to all his employees, and he was like, you made this happen. I was like, you made this happen, because I did not do any of this work. But he's like, this is here because of what you did. And I was just like, wow, because in that moment I was afraid, and in that moment I could have got it all wrong, and in that moment I could have actually just said no, and not trusted that God wants to speak to me and that I'm his sheep and that I can hear his voice. And so I want to encourage you guys, you can hear his voice, whether that's in dreams, whether that's in the still small voice, that random kind of those thoughts that you get. God can use your thoughts. Often those thoughts are God thoughts. Whether it is through coincidence, whether it is through signs or number plates, whether it's through the word of God, whether it's through someone else or a worship song, that God can speak to you. In the Bible, we see so many examples of visions, and people, you know, get pictures in your mind of something that is something that God's speaking to you about. I remember giving a lady a word once and saying, I had a picture of a washing machine in my head, and I didn't want to just say, God's saying washing machine, because it makes no sense. And also I wanted the word to sound a bit holier than it was, if I'm really honest with you, which I shouldn't have done. And it was a great learning experience, because when God stops talking, I need to stop talking and not embellish a word. But I had the picture of a washing machine, and I was thinking, okay, well, what's that going to be about? Oh, it could be about cycles, and it could be about cleansing and washing. And so I kind of shared all this stuff with her, and she just goes to me, you should have just stopped at washing machine, because as soon as you said that, God had already spoken to me. And I was like, oh, okay, lesson learned. I don't need to make things sound really fancy. God can use washing machine and to impact someone's life, and that really blessed her and really impacted her. And so when we want to hear the voice of God, we just have to ask. And it says, if you eagerly desire the gift of prophecy, that he'll give it to you, because he wants you to eagerly desire it. So how I just want to end is I want to pray for us, that if there is anyone who desires to hear God's voice more for yourself, for other people, for your business, for your family, for your friends, for your church, that God would speak to you more, but that you would also be aware of the multitude of ways that he wants to speak to you, that almost like your senses would be opened up to hear him in his full glory and all the ways he wants to speak to you. So if that is you, you can just pray this along with me. But I'm going to pray for you and pray for us that we would hear him more clearly. So, Father,